page. Gimel Amid Aleph. A middle of the page where it says Allah Amir Abulazar. Exactly middle of the page. Allah Amir Abulazar. The Gemara is trying to figure out from where do we learn that the new year for kings starts from Rosh Hashanah. I'm from Rosh Chodesh Nissan. So the Gemara went to various different proofs, and then the Gemara said, yeah, but maybe it's Sivan, maybe it's Tammuz, maybe it's Av, and all these different types. Elam et Abelazar, Abelazar says, Mehacha. We learn it out from a different pasuk. Because it says about construction of the Beis HaMikdash, Vayachal Livnei, Shlomo HaMelech began building the Beis HaMikdash, Vachedesh HaSheni in the second month, Vashinaso Arba L'Malchusei in the fourth year of his reign. So in the second year of Shlomo HaMelech's fourth year reign, he started building the Beis HaMikdash. Second month of his fourth year reign. So it says, "My Sheni." What does second mean? Second from when? Lav Sheni leYarech Shemelim beElam Malchus. Is it then not the second month that we count from the beginning of his kingdom, which is obviously the month of Iyar? So the Gemara says. So you see that the new year for king begins in this, okay? Because the Gemara is learning the second month is Nisan Iyar. And it says in the fourth year of his kingdom. So obviously, how do you count the years of his kingdom starting from Nisan? So Iyar would be the second month. So the Gemara says, Mask of Lord Ravina. Ravina asks a question. How do you know Sheni means the second? Bachedish Hasheni, Basheni means the second month. Ve'em Hasheni Bachedish. It should say, it maybe means the second day of the month. How do you know it means the second month? So he says, in Cain, Bach Sheni Bachedish Bad Yavik Sibli. Then it would have written clearly in the second month, on the second of the month. In other words, the Gemara says as follows. The Torah says, Bachedish Hasheni. See, the problem over here is in the Pasuk adds another word. It says, in the second month, in the second, in the fourth year of his reign. So the Gemara says, what does the extra second mean? It says already the second month. What does it mean, the second? So the Gemara learns it means the second month, meaning that you begin the new year for kings in this. So not only is it the biblical second month of the year, but it's also the second year of his reign. So the Gemara asks, how do you know it means the second month? Maybe it means the second day. Maybe it means on the second day of the second month he began building the Beis HaMikdash. Then the Gemara answers, no, because Havik Sivbe Behedya would have written clearly. Because all over Torah, when the Torah speaks about a day of the month, the Torah says clearly, second day of the month. 15th day of the month. So the Gemara says, Ve'em Hasheni B'Shabbos, maybe it means Monday, the second day of the week. Maybe it means the second day of the week. The Gemara says, Chod, the number one, nowhere in Chumash do we find days of the week. You just don't find days of the week in Chumash. The Torah always speaks about days of the month. Never in Chumash do we find the concept of day of the week. The Eid, and another proof, another thing he says, Makasheni Basra Sheni Kam. When it says the second month, the second day, we liken both seconds to one another. Just like the first second. First time it says second, it means the second month, because it says Bachedish Hasheni. So when it says Basheni, it also means the second month. So the Gemara says, Masheni Kama Chedish, just like the first time it says second, it means the second month. Avsheni Basra Chedish, the same thing when it says the second time, it also means the second month. So the Gemara is a very simple proof. The Pasuk says, in the second month of the second, in the fourth year of his reign. What do you see from there? What's the second about? So you see it means in the second month, which is Iyar, which is the second month of his kingdom, in the fourth year of his reign. So you see clearly from that pasuk that kingdom's new year begins from this. And therefore, whenever Nisan comes, it starts automatically the new year of the king's reign. And like we learned before, even if you became a king a day before Rosh Chodesh Nisan, as soon as Rosh Chodesh Nisan comes, it starts the second year in. That's like the breaking point for the new year. So now the Gemara is going to say a very simple proof to Rabbi Yechanan. Now if you remember, the Gemara brought a proof to Rabbi Yechanan from like 10 psukim together. And the Gemara is just going to repeat all the 10 psukim together in one, like in one time. The Gemara Braisa says, Tanya Kavosid Rabbi Yechanan, we learned the proof to Rabbi Yechanan. Rabbi Yechanan said before, Minayin she'imenim la'am melachim aluminisin, how do I know? This is a braiser. But it's exactly the same proof that Rabbi Yechanan brought. How do we know that you don't count for kings? Only from Nisan, that Nisan is the new beginning of the king. Because it says in the Pasuk, Vahi b'shmeinim shana, was in the 80th year. Vaba me'a shana in the 480th year. It says, B'nei Yisrael Meretz Mitzrayim, that he began building the Beis HaMikdash. Ochsivin, it says in the Pasuk, Vayal Aaron HaKohen al Har HaHor HaPi Hashem. Aaron HaKohen went up to the mountains to die. Ochsivin, it says, Vayi Bar Bar. These are all the, what the Gemara is doing now, is taking all the proofs that he said before at great length, and the Braisa knocks them off one after another, without even explaining what the proofs are. That's basically what it is. It says, Vayi Bar Boim Shana Bashtei HaSachedish, was in the 40th year, in the 11th month, when Meshe Rabbeinu started speaking Dvarim. And it says, Achri HaKesei, as Sichin Melech HaMedi, that after he killed Sichin. And we learned already that Sichin was still alive when Aaron was alive. When Aaron died, I mean, Vayishma Knani, Vayiru Koleido Kigov Aaron. And it says, Vayiba Chodesh Arishim Bashon HaShenis, Vayiba Shon HaShenis Vachedesh HaSheni, Vachedesh HaShlish Litzayz Bnei Yisrael, Vayachal Livnes. What does this all mean? All these proofs, what the Gemara had in the last two pages. The Gemara just summarized all these psukim that the Gemara elaborated on in the proofs to prove again that the beginning of the year of kings starts in the month of Nisan. Okay? That's basically it. So now the Gemara says, Amar Rav Chista said, okay, Rav Chista says a new concept. Until now we learned that the din of the Mishnah, that Nisan is the Rosh Hashanah for kings. Right? The question is it Jewish kings or Goyish kings? Is it any king or only Jewish kings? When does Nisan begin the actual new year? So Amar Rav Chista said, Loishanu Ela Lamalcha Yisrael. This only starts for Jewish kings. Jewish kings, their new year begins in Nisan. Ava Lamalcha Umisa Elam, but for Goyish kings, Mitishri Manina. We start from Tishrei. Which, by the way, like we explained yesterday in the afternoon, we're learning the difference between Nisan and Tishrei. Tishrei is nature, and Nisan is the snes, the supernatural. So it makes sense that the Jewish kings, which are, so to speak, dealing with the godliness in the world, supernatural, that should begin from Nisan. And Goyish kings, which are basically the concept of nature, that's why it should begin from Tishrei. That's why, as we learned many times, the Jewish calendar starts from Nisan. Chodashim begins from Nisan, the lunar calendar. And the solar calendar, which is what the non-Jews follow, starts from Tishrei. Because Tishrei, again, symbolizes nature. So the non-Jews basically deal with the nature. They don't bring godliness, the supernatural, into the world. They have a concept of nature. So the concept of nature, so they start from Tishrei. The Jews are supposed to bring godliness into the world in a supernatural way, so therefore they start from this. So the Chista is saying, so it is with the Jewish kings and non-Jewish kings. The Jewish kings, their new year begins from Nisan. And the non-Jewish kings, their year begins from Tishrei. So he says, how do I know it? He brings a proof from Psukim that the new year begins for the non-Jewish kings, that it begins in the month of Tishrei. He says, because Shinama, it says in the Pasuk, Divrei Nechemya ben Chachachla Chachalya. There was a famous Navi Nechemya, Ezra Nechemya. It says, Vayhi b'chedesh Kislev. It was in the month of Kislev, Shnas Esrim, in the 20th year. And another Pasuk, it says, Vayhi b'chedesh Nisan. It was in the month of Nisan, Shnas Esrim la Tach Shasta. there's a Persian king called Artaxerxes, and the Mefarshim learn, it's interesting that it was like what's the expression called? Looking for a word. It's like all the Persian kings were called. Huh? It's like all Egyptian kings were called Pare. All Bashan kings were called Aig. No, they have all these various. It was a uniform name. That's what I'm looking at. It was a uniform name for all the Persian kings. But it says over here like this: Nechemya ben Chachalia spoke in Kislev of the 40th year, and then it says in the 20th year, and then it says in Nisan of the 20th year. Now the question is very simple: if Nisan begins the new year, then Nisan would be in the 21st year. Yet in the same the Pesukim are saying that in the 20th year in Kislev and the 20th year in Nisan. Now the Kislev came before the Nisan. So now the question is, if Nisan is the new beginning for the Goyish kings, Nisan should have been the 21st year. If Kislev is the 20th, and then Nisan becomes the 21st year. But both, the Pasuk calls 20th year. He says, Midikoi beKislev. The fact that he's in Kislev. The Kardel Shnasa Esim, and he calls it the 20th year. And he's in Nisan, and he also calls it the 20th year. Mechal de Rosh Hashanah Lav Nisan Hu. So you see that for Goyish kings, Nisan is not the Rosh Hashanah. Because if you have Kislev, and then you have Nisan, and Kislev is the 20th year, then Nisan should begin the 21st year. But the Pasuk calls both the 20th year. So why? Because if you start from Tishrei to Tishrei, then Kislev and Nisan are both 20. But if you start from Nisan, then Nisan should have been the 21st year. So the Gemara proves that this that we say until now, in the Mishnah, that Nisan is a Rosh Hashanah for kings, it refers only to Jewish kings. But the Goyish kings, when you write in documents of, because we learned that in many documents, the Jews used to write the Goyish dates. Yeah. Not the Goyish dates, they used to write the years of the Goyish kings.
The Jewish calendar?
No. But I'm saying what they would write about in the documents, nowadays we write from creation. But the Gemara quotes, in the olden times, they are giving respect to the king. Like we learned in the first time we were learning Rosh Hashanah. Out of respect to the king, they would date documents based on the reign of the king. 10th year of Alexander, 20th year of whatever the king was. In fact, even look in the Megillah Esther. When the Megillah Esther is talking about dates, all the way at the beginning, Bishna Shalish Lamalchai, when he made the decree, it says in the 12th year of his reign. The Megillah is constantly talking nothing about creation. The Megillah Esther is talking about years of Ahasuerus's rule, and that's how they dated things. So now the Shaila is, if you're writing the Goyish king's years, the reign of the Goyish king, when does the new year begin? So the Gemara so far is saying it starts in Tishrei. If you're writing Jewish king's date, it starts in this. Because we find by Jewish kings we talk to find that the Torah changes it by Nisan. But by Goyish king, it says Kislev in the 20th year, Nisan is the 20th year. If Nisan begins the new year, then Nisan would have been the 21st year. The fact that Kislev and Nisan are both 20 years shows that the year begins from Tishrei to Tishrei. I heard last night Rabbi Bogomolsky told me it says we're talking about writing Goyish dates like 1:15 yesterday by the ship. He told me after I heard the story once before, he reminded me of it, that one of the Rabbi's secretaries, Nissen Mendel, once went into the Rabbi for dictation. He used to go into the Rabbi for dictation. He wrote the Rabbi's letters. So it was January 1st and the Rabbi told him Happy New Year. So he like looked at the Rabbi. I mean, come on, this is not the Jewish Rosh Hashanah. So the Rabbi quoted the passage that we mentioned yesterday, Hashem Yisper B'chsev Amim, that Hashem counts in the Goyish B'chsev Amim, in Hashem counts based on the Goyish Shadeit. But the Rebbe said to him that the Baditchever said that it's good for the Jews to realize there's a Goyish New Year. Why? Because when the Jews come, Rosh Hashanah, to Hashem, and the Hashem is judging the Jews on our Rosh Hashanah, and Hashem looks down at the Jews, the good, the not so good, the, you know, they're behaving, they're not behaving. So when it comes to Goyish New Year, and you see the difference between what the Jews do on Rosh Hashanah and what the Goyim do on their New Year, where they get drunk and they get wild and sugar, so that is beneficial for the Jews. So by saying that this is the Goyish New Year, it's good for the Jews. Because then Hashem is seeing, so to speak, the difference between, yeah, as bad as we are, we still, Rosh Hashanah is much better than what they do on their New Year's. So it's beneficial for the Jews that we mention the concept of New Year. I didn't.
There's also a request that you should actually want or write again.
I know, you weren't here yesterday afternoon, but we discussed the question in Aloha, if you can write, and like if you have you write checks or you write dates, right? But many times there's no place even to fill it in. So you write 1-30-02, yeah? There are many opinions in Aloha, right? You can't do that. Because what do you mean 1-30? You're saying January is the first month. The Torah says Nisan is the first month. Why are you writing 1 in January? The many posts come, right? You can't do it. The Rebbe holds you could do it. Because the letters from the Rebbe writing that you wrote me a letter on 1-15 this, you know, something like that, in reply to your answer, so you said that the Rebbe did write 1-15 or whatever it was. Because if you wouldn't be allowed to do it, the Rebbe wouldn't cop, even though the guy wrote the letter, the Rebbe's not going to answer if you're not allowed to do it in response to your letter of 1-15-02, I mean, whatever, you know.
The other problem is this number rather than names, because the names of the months are based on the Greek god.
Lav Dafka. Everybody says you can use the Goyish calendar month. Question is, if you're allowed to write numbers, because the Torah says, the Nisan is the first month. Okay, anyway, the Gemara asks a question. So, Rav Chisda is bringing a proof that the fact that here it says 20, in Kislev, and here it says 20, but the problem is, in the first pasuk it doesn't say 20 from whom. In the second pasuk it says, Latach Shasta. So Gemara asks, Bishlei Mehechmele, in the second pasuk it says, Mefarsh Talatach Shasta. It says the name of the king. Elahai, but the first guy. Mimaida Latach Shasta. How do you know if it's from Latach Shasta? Vilma, the Minyan Achrino, maybe it's a different county. In other words, one pasuk said the 20th year of Atachshasta. The next pasuk doesn't say 20th year of Atachshasta. It says just the 20th year. So how do you know it's the same counting? So Gemara says, Amar Apapa, you can't say that, because Shnas Eshim, L'gzeira Shava. In the same area, it says 2020. If it's 2020, like we learned L'gzeira Shava, so it's the same person. So just say by the pasuk, which clearly says Atachshasta, the same thing, Avocha, the same thing over here, it's like Tachshasta. Is this a Persian word?
Yeah, I think it's Chashar Shah. We have such
a... Well, I don't know, it sure doesn't, whatever.
This is a name.
I'll never become a Persian with this language, that's for sure. Now the Gemara asks a very simple question. How do you know Kislev came first, and then Nisan says 2020, maybe Nissen's story was first. Maybe it really comes from Nissen. But who told you the Kislev story happened before Nissen? Maybe the Nissen story happened before the Kislev story. And then it's all the same year of 20, but you really begin the year from Nissen. The Gemara said, Mamai the Maisa, the Kislev Kodim. How do you know the story of Kislev came first? And therefore, if you would come from Nissen, Nissen would be the 21st year. Maybe Dilma Maisa, the Nissen Kodim. Maybe the story of Nisan happened first. Nisan changed to year 20. Nisan to Nisan is 20. And Nisan happened before Kislev. The story of Nisan happened before Kislev. So the Gemara says, Lisalka Daitach, that doesn't make sense. Why? The Tanya, because we learned, Dvarim Sha'amar, Chanani le Nechemya be Kislev, because it says, what Chanani told Nechemi and Kislev, Nechemi attacked to the king in Nisan. Now, you can't say something before you know it. So if the guy told it to Nechemya in Kislev, and then Nechemya told it to King in Nisan, Kislev had to happen before Nisan. He can't tell the king something that he heard at 3/4 of a year later. So therefore the fact, and now the Dubai is going to say what he told him. So he said basically, Kislev had to come before Nisan, because Kislev is when he heard it, and he told it to the king in Nisan. And yet the Torah calls it all the same year. What did he tell him? He says, "Dvarim shamar Chanani leNechemya beKislev." What did Chanani tell Nechemya? By the way, at the bottom here, he goes into the whole thing with the historical order of events, with the Churban, the Beis Hamikdash, and everything. He says, "Shenemar." It says, "David Nechemya ben Chachalya, vayi b'chaydish Kislev." Who was in the month of Kislev? He says, "Vani ayisi b'Shushan Abira." I was in Shushan, the capital. Talking about the Persian kings over here. Vayave Chanani came, Echad Miachai, one of my brothers, Huva Noshim mi Yehuda, him and the people from Yehuda, Vashalim al Yehuda Mapleta Mashanishu Minashviv al Yerushalayim. What happened is as follows. Many Jews left early in the building of the second Beis Hamikdash to go to Yerushalayim. But the Jews, like he says, the Jews were very, it was a desperate plight of the Jews in Yerushalayim, which Nechemya heard from Chanina in Kislev. Okay? Now, there's a whole thing over here. He goes into the whole thing about, the bottom line is, what happened basically was, there are certain kings that allowed the reconstruction of the Beis Hamikdash. Achashverosh stopped it. Then Achashverosh and Esther had a son, the Yavesh, that they allowed the rebuilding of the Beis Hamikdash. Okay? Now, the temple is completed in the 3rd of Adar, in the 6th year of the Yavesh's reign. A month later, they started bringing Korbanos. Then, a year or so later, Ezra comes back to Yerushalayim to the Beis Hamikdash. But there are Jews in Bavel. Ezra was with the Jews in Bavel. A lot of Jews went to Yerushalayim earlier. So it says, when Chani came from Yerushalayim to Bavel, so Nechemya asked him, how are the Jews doing in Yerushalayim? Because the Jews were suffering heavily at that time, even though they had the Beis Hamikdash. For the first year, they were suffering very heavily under the rule in Yerushalayim. So he says, Hanani, one of my brothers, came from Yerushalayim, and I asked him, "Al Yehudim Apleita, on the Jews who had survived, Asher Nishru Min Ashvi, they remained from the captivity, that they because they were scared, taken captivity first, Val Yerushalayim and upon the Yerushalayim, Vayemeli." And this Chani said to Nechemya, Nechemya speaking, he said to me, "Hanisharim Asher Nishru Min Ashvi Shamba Medina, that the remaining ones who remain of the captivity." They're in the province. They're in a great hunger, and great misery. And the wall of Yerushalayim is breached, meaning there's a bunch of holes in the wall. And the gates have been set afire. So basically, he came back that the Jews were suffering heavily in Yerushalayim. This is what he told them in Kislev. Now, Amar Nechemya leMelech beNisan. So these things that he heard in Kislev, Nechemya had the opportunity to tell the Persian king in Nisan. Now obviously you can't say Nisan happened first. Kislev, he heard a report about what happened about the suffering of the Jews in Yerushalayim, and then in Nisan he met the Persian king and he told the king what happened. And it says, "Vayhi b'chaydish Nisan shnatz eshrim latachshasto haMelech yayin lefanav." Nechemya brought him wine to loosen him up a little bit. And he gave it to the king. And I did not appear, he said, I didn't look bad in his face. I mean, I tried to compose myself that I shouldn't be sad. And the king says to me, the king, Nechemya speaking, that the king said to me, Achashasto, whatever his name is, Madua Panecha Roim, why is your face like down? You're not sick. You don't look sick. But why are you so upset? It's only because you have a bad heart, so to speak. And Nehemiah said, I became very afraid that the king realized that I was very, very upset. So now he realized, now he has an opportunity to tell the king why he was upset about the Jews in Yerushalayim. Because then Yerushalayim was still under Persian rule. And I said to the king, HaMelech Le'elam Yichya, you should live forever. He told the king, you should live forever. What do you mean, Madua La'ir Panai? You want to know why I'm sad? Why shouldn't I be sad? Asher Ha'ir Beis Kivrus HaVeisai, the city of my ancestors, Charva is destroyed, U'Sha'ara Uklu Ebeish, and the gates are consumed with fire. So Nehemiah says to the king, what do you mean I shouldn't be upset? Look what's going on in Yerushalayim. I mean, the Jews are suffering and there's destruction and so on. So the king said to me, Nehemiah says, so what do you want from me? What do you want from me? So the Pasuk says quietly, not that he said this, Nehemiah said this to the king, but he said, Nehemiah said, I davened at that moment that Hashem should make my prayers accepted. And I said to the king, if it's good for the king, and if your servant, meaning me, is good in your eyes, you should send me to Yehuda, the burial place of my forefathers, and let me rebuild the city. See, Nehemiah asked permission from the king to allow to go to Yerushalayim to start rebuilding. And the king said to me, and to the consort, meaning the people sitting beside him, he asked me, when are you going to go? And when are you going to come back? The king said, okay. In other words, the king gave him permission to go. But he said, when are you going to go? When are you going to come back? And it was good in the eyes of the king, and he sent me, and I gave him the time. So this is time to, these are just the psukim to get the story straight. So what do you see from here? First, Kislev had to happen, and then Nissan had to happen. Because Kislev is when he heard the devastating report about Yerushalayim, and Nissan he told it to the king. He couldn't tell it to the king Nissan and then hear the report the following Kislev. So what do you see from here, from the proof of the Gemara, that for Goyish kings, he goes from Tishrei to Tishrei. Therefore, Kislev came first, then Nissan, and yet it was all in the same year. Because if you start from Goyish kings from Nissan, then how can Kislev and Nissan be in the same year? And you can't say Nissan happened first and then Kislev, because just chronologically it doesn't make sense. So therefore, Kislev happened first, then Nissan. So you see as follows. So far, the outcome of the Gemara is Jewish kings, you start from Nissan to Nissan is the new year, and Goyish kings, you go from Kislev to Kislev. Like we said, today it doesn't matter, because today in documents, we write from beginning of creation. We don't go by the kings anymore, we go by how many years, when you date a document, the Ksuba, whatever.
What the Goyish kings
do? No, I'm saying, even when the people were under the Tsar, sometimes they wrote the year of the Tsar. Or Alexander, or whatever, whoever the Tsar was. They would write many times, the year of the king. Okay, then the Gemara says, Masav Rav Yosef asked a question from different psukim. It says, now Rav Yosef is going to prove that even the Goyish kings, you start from this. He's going to prove from different psukim that we find that by the Goyish kings, they also started Nissan to Nissan. He said, Matzav Rav Yosef asked, it says, B'yayim Esen V'arba'a L'chedish. It says, in the 24th day of the month, Bashishi, in the 6th, we don't know what the word 6th means, because it says already 24th day of the month, V'shnash Dayim L'Duryavish, in the second year of Duryavish's rule, they started working on the base of Migdash. Oksiv, in another pasuk says, Bashvi, in the 7th month, Bishtash Dayim, in the 2nd year, Be'etzim Ve'echad L'Chedesh, in the 21st year.
No, now,
I'm sorry, the 21st day of the month, right. Now, the Emi, so if you're saying this, that the new year starts from Tishrei to Tishrei, because the seventh month is Tishrei. Right? Now, if Elul was the second year of his reign, how could Tishrei be the second year of his reign if Tishrei starts the new year? If Tishrei starts the new year, the Pasuk says as follows, Elul in the second year of his reign, and Tishrei in the second year of his reign. Now if Tishrei is the new year for the Goyish kings, if Elul is the second year, then Tishrei has to be the third year. Right? Because Tishrei starts the new year. For Emis, and if you're going to say that for Goyim, Tishrei starts the new year, Bashvi Bishna Sholich Mibarle, it should be in the seventh month of the third year of his kingdom. Because Tishrei is the new year. So it should be another year. And Dulyavish was a Goyish king. So the Gemara answers, Amar Ababu, Kedesh Melech Kosher Hoya. Kedesh, this king Kedesh that we're talking about, in these Psukim, was a good king, even though he was a Goyish king, but he was a kosher king, and therefore Manulei B'malchi Yisrael, they counted him like a Jewish king. Dariavish was the son of Achashverosh and Esther. Dariavish, well, not according to all opinions. There are opinions that say that Achashverosh and Esther had a kid. And they were married. but eventually Dariavish had a kid, who's Dariavish. And when Achashverosh died, Dariavish, who technically was a Jew, because his mother was Jewish, but he allowed the rebuilding of the Beis Hamikdash.
But Kurish freed the Jews from Babylon.
Yeah, but that's the whole thing. The Gemara is going to talk, he says, the Gemara is going to talk, how is it Kurish or Dariavish, who is it over here? And the Gemara is going to say it was the same guy. There's so many names over there in the Pesukim of different kings that the Gemara is going to soon say they're all the same guy. Sometimes he's called it, we'll soon see. Anyway, Rababu answers that the fact that he was a kosher king, that's why they counted him as the Jewish month. Mask of Rav Yosef. So Rav Yosef said, then I have a question to ask you. It says, number one, Chada im kein kosher t'kara dodi. Then you have a contradiction of Pesukim according to what you just said. Why? Because it says, v'sheitzi b'aisa d'na ad yem t'losa l'yerech adar the Shna Sheis Lamachas the Yavish Malka. By the way, a lot of Daniel is written in Aramaic rather than Lashon Kodesh. This is a puzzle in Daniel of Aramaic. He says, this temple was completed on the third day of the month of Adar in the sixth year of Yavish's reign. Okay, so it says Adar of the sixth year. Then it says, Be'etzi's man, Lashona Abba, that year, a year later, that time, a year later. Allah Ezmi Bavel, Ezim went up above, the Galusa Ime and a lot of Jews went back up with him. And it says, when did Ezra come to Yerushalayim? Vayava Yerushalayim Bachedish Achamishi, Ishnasa Shvius Lamelech. He came in the seventh year of the king. That means Ezra came a year and a half after the Beis Hamikdash was finished. So the question is, V'imis, if you're going to say that you're counting from Nisan, if he came in Av is after Nisan, right? It says the seventh year in Adar, then it says the seventh year in Av. Now in between is Nisan. If the Yavish was a kosher king, and therefore the new year starts from Nisan, why does it say seventh in Adar? And seventh in Av should already be the eighth year. So the Gemara is very, and another thing, Midah Mehari, you can compare the two names. One is Kedesh and one is Dariavish. One person says Kedesh, one says Dariavish. How can you say it's the same guy? So the Gemara answers, Tane, we learned. Who Kedesh, who Dariavish? Who Artachshasta? It's the same guy. Kedesh, Dariavish, and Artachshasta, whatever that guy's name is all the same guy. Why? So it says as follows. Kedesh, why was he called Kedesh? Because Kedesh is the letters of kosher. May meaning Shemalach Kosher Hoya. He was a kosher king. So they called him Kadesh because he was kosher. Artashasta is because that was his Malchusay, because that was the title of all the Persian kings. Was so in other words like this. His real name, Duryavish. He was called Kadesh because he was kosher. And he was called the Tashasta because that's the name of all the Persian kings. So that's why you can't ask a question. Question two, how could it be Kadesh and the Yavish? Because it's the same guy. But the Gemara said, Mikomakim Kasha. But it's still a question. Because how can you say, because he was a kosher king? He goes from Nisan. If Kadesh goes from Nisan, why is Adar the seventh month, seventh year? And Av is the seventh year. If Nisan is the break-off point, then Av should be in the eighth year. So Gemara says, like Amar Rabbi Yitzchak Leikasha. Kan Kedem Shehichmitz, Kan La'achah Shehichmitz. The Gemara's answer is very interesting. Kedesh, the Gemara says, because the Gemara's going to ask him, but the Gemara meanwhile says the following. Kedesh was a good king, and then he turned bad. So the Gemara says as follows. When Kedesh was a kosher king, then we counted the years from Nisan. When he became bad again, they stuck him back with all the Goyisha kings, and then they counted the year from Tishrei. So the Gemara answer is very simple. Because we find a contradiction. That's an evasive question. One time we find that the Kadesh is counting from Tishrei to Tishrei. And one time we find Kadesh counting from Nisan to Nisan. So how could it be? So the Gemara answer is very simple. When he was a kosher king, meaning when he behaved properly, we put him with the Jewish kings, so they counted the year from Nisan to Nisan. So those psukim that are counting from Nisan to Nisan, notice here, here, here. From Nisan to Nisan is when Kadesh was kosher. Then when Kadesh became bad again, they started counting from Tishrei to Tishrei. So that passing that counts from Tishrei to Tishrei, speaking after he was bad. But the Gemara asks, Maskelo Rav Kahana. And if God asks a very simple question, Umi Hechmitz, did Kadesh ever become bad? Where do we see Kadesh became bad? Vok 7, it says in the Pasuk, Vok 7, the letter, the Grashi says in the letter that he sent to Ezra, he says, Uma Chashchon v'neitelem v'dichnem v'imen lava, whatever it says, whatever the Pasuk means, it says, whatever they require. The Kadesh wrote a letter to Ezra after he came up to Yerushalayim. It said, whatever the Jews need, give him. The Gemara learns that after Ezra came up from Babel, like we learned, the Jews, it was very interesting historical events. They built the Beis HaMikdash without Ezra. Ezra was still in Babel. A year and a half after the Beis HaMikdash was built, Ezra brought the Jews back. The only ones that didn't go back with him were the Levim. The Levim didn't go back, and Ezra fined the Levim that they're like this, they get Meiser, they get the 10% of the grain. Ezra said, because you don't come back with me to Yerushalayim, they stayed in Bavel. He said, you guys are losing the rights, and he gave it back to the Koyanim. He really belonged to the Levim, not the Koyanim. But the problem was that Ezra went back to Yerushalayim a year and a half. Why did he go wait so long? I believe Ezra had a big problem with the Jews. They were all married to non-Jewish women. And Ezra was fighting with them to get rid of the Shiksas, of the Persian Shiksas. And Ezra was mamish fighting with the Jews to get him to go back to the Beis HaMikdash. And Ezra, as a leader, couldn't just abandon ship and leave all the Jews remaining in Babel, in Persia, and go up to the Beis HaMikdash. So Ezra was fighting with the Jews for a year and a half to bring them all back to Eretz Yisrael for the second Beis HaMikdash.
What did you do all his writings? At that area?
Yeah, I guess so.
How were his successes or failures then?
I guess they're pretty good. Most of the Jews won it up.
So what happened to the Levim finally?
I imagine they also went up.
Finally.
I don't know. It's just, you have to ask the historians that know Tanakh. I don't know. I just know the Gemara says that the Levim didn't go up, and Ezra constant gave him a knas that they shouldn't get meiser. But eventually, I guess all the Jews went up, or else he assimilated to such an extent that they were all lost.
But that's another place where he changed Torah.
No, has it been changed there?
Not
no, no, it was a monetary thing. Beis Din has an authority in monetary issues, not in mitzvahs. Beis Din has what's called hefker, Beis Din hefker. Beis Din has a right to a proper Beis Din has a right to make your property free for all. Because in monetary issues, Beis Din has control. Therefore, you can make conditions in monetary things, even if against the, goes against the, what the Torah normally would say. In monetary issues, in if it's, Ezra couldn't say that truma, which had sanctity to it, that if you weren't a kohen and you ate it, you got killed by Hashem. Ezra couldn't say, okay, we're going to give truma, we're going to find the kohanim, and we're going to give it to the levim. That couldn't work because there was a level of sanctity that only a kohen could have with truma. And that he can't change. But Ma'aseh had no holiness to it. The tithing that they gave the Levium had no kedusha. It was a monetary payment for the Levium. Because after all, the Levium had owned no land. They didn't. They worked in the Beis HaMikdash. So how did they live? So Hashem gave him a payment. What was the payment? That the Jews paid 10% of their fruits and whatever to the Levium. Not even the animals. The animals went to the Kohen as a carbon. But the 10% of the fruits were given to the Levium as a monetary gift. It had nothing to do, no holiness, no kedusha. It was a payment. Now if the Levium didn't behave, so Ezra had a halachic right to say, you don't behave, I'm taking away your payment.
People who gave
the
mitzvah anyway?
No, the Torah gave. Yeah, but it went to the Kohen. Yeah, the mitzvah's giving. I mean, you have the same concept by Truma. I have to separate Truma. I have to give Truma to the Kohen. But I have what's called Tevis Ano. I have the right to give it to the Kohen of my choice. Means you're a Kohen. But what happens, if I like you, I want to give it, I want to give my Truma to you. So another Kohen that can come and grab my Truma. But what happens if a Kohen does? What happens if I always give my Truma to you, and I have my Truma put away? Now it's not mine. It belongs to the Kohen. But I always give it to you. What happens if another Kohen, who's not such a nice person, comes and grabs my Truma? The din is, it's his. There's an argument in the Gemara if Tevis Hana is value or not. Meaning, the fact that I can give it to you over another other person, is that a value? Is there a monetary value to it? One opinion Gemara says there is, one opinion Gemara says there isn't. But the opinion that says there is, let's say it's $10. Moshe, the fact of $100 of Truma, I'm just picking numbers. Let's say that the fact that I have a right, it's not mine anyway, I have to give it to a Kohen. But the fact that I give it to you and not another Kohen is worth to me $5. So what the Kohen could do, if he's not a nice person, he can come and grab all my $100 worth of Truma.
From inside your property?
Yeah, because it's not mine. It belongs to the Kohen. It's not mine. So it's, it says, I'm a Kohen. Yeah? The only thing is, does he have to give me $5 because he took away that benefit, enjoyment that I had to give it to you? So if your Tevis Hana is Mammon, Beis Din has to evaluate how much that's valuable. Is it $1, $2, a nickel, a dime? Another thing is worthless. It's no value. So the guy's not a nice Kohen, but technically it's his.